Off the Ball Rugby.
And there was no doubt there was a lot of disappointment in the Galway air that they didn't have this win, because they're sick of losing interpros and they're sick of losing to Leinster. That's 13 defeats in a row to Leinster, and it's 10 interpro defeats out of 10 in the last two seasons.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off the Ball member now.
There's a need to say a fair bit about the rugby, obviously, across all the papers. What are we, 4 days out from the start of the Six Nations this day next week? In fact, the first full round will be over. So Rory O'Connor talks about the opening game, been on a Thursday, in his Sunday Independent piece today. And he says, not since New Year's Day, 1948, has a tournament now known as Six Nations kicked off on a Thursday. If Andy Farrell is looking for positive omens, Ireland beat France 13-6 in Paris that day and went on to win a Grand Slam. Now, positive omens and general positive chat is something that's reasonably absent, I think, from most of the papers today. Shane McGrath's opening paragraph in the Mail on Sunday, in his piece entitled Ireland Face a Grim Spring, sorry, it's not his opening paragraph, but down the piece, suffering seems a certainty. Discuss. Is suffering a certainty?
Yeah, I think on a day when we're all looking for a bit of optimism, there's not much in the rugby pages today. I thought Bernard Jackman as well says, Irish scrum coach John Fogarty is going to have to turn water into wine if we are to win Thursday's match. It's a long time, I think, since there was this much of a sense of defeat before we even get near the actual match. I think it's possibly the worst possible opener they could have, followed by two more difficult ones in the next kind of 18 days as well. So it's there's with injuries, with just the general feeling around the camp at the moment. It's a very, very, very tough start. In terms of the Thursday match, I think for a fan side of things, it's not great. And it's something that you hope doesn't kind of carry forward into the future. So you're finding it an awful lot more now with, the Premier League as well, just myself from experience trying to go over, and these new, kickoff times. Liverpool fans last night, an 8 o'clock Saturday kickoff, it means you have to stay over. You don't get the chance to do the sprint back to the airport to get home. So I think there's definitely fans that, you're taking 2 days off work, as well as the expense of everything. So I don't think that's ideal for everyone. On the flip side of that, them having an extra couple of days recovery on the far side of a France away match probably will end up being a good thing. But no, there's not much hope around in today's rugby pages.
And it's very unusual, the last couple of years where maybe France we would have accepted, and it's turned out we're that little bit better than us. There was still an optimism that if everything went our way, we might possibly get it done, but... Stuart Barnes kind of puts the nail on it today, Kieran.
Yeah, I thought he made an interesting point, because there is a lot of negativity around the coverage, and not just in the Sundays, but across the media in recent days and around the launch. Hugh Farley mentions, their pessimism is probably its lowest level since 2008 under Ray O'Sullivan, or 2012 under Declan Kidney, that, probably every year since then up to this year, you would have been going into it thinking you have a real chance of winning it. But Barnes makes the point, and he says, a third place finish could be very positive for Ireland. Like, if we blood a fair number of new players, win the three home games, and even be competitive against France and England. Like, even if you lose, don't get a shellacking in either of the games, because you have the World Cup next week. You're past the midway point of the World Cup cycle, and you do need more options. And, Farrell, when he came in, people forget the players he blooded who became so important, like Mac Hansen and, Hugo Keegan and Gibson Park, Caelan Doris. They were all brought in by Farrell at the start. Mm. And now he's a chance now to bring in another four or five that would really add to the mix next year. The big problem in the front row and at number 10, they will probably dictate how the campaign goes for them. But the schedule is so punishing. I didn't realise it's three games in the first 18 days, and that includes the trips to Paris and Twickenham and a home date with Italy, who are quite physical. So, you know, they will, even if you beat them, you know, they will bash you up. So those three games will take their toll and will tell us a lot about where Ireland stand ahead of next year, which is what we should be looking at. You know, not the short-termism of this Six Nation, but where are Ireland going into a World Cup, where the draw has been quite kind to them. You know, yeah. You could win your first ever knockout game.
Yeah, well, it'd be just the time where the draw is really kind and we've hit our lowest ebb for years, of course, to, you know, not meet the task. Yes, like, I mean, I know you're saying obviously we'll play Italy and, well, hopefully we'll beat them. Like, it does feel as if the numbers are so depleted that nothing is possibly off the agenda at the minute in terms of results. One interesting wrinkle to it that Bernard Jackman points out in his piece in the Sunday Independent today about, like, the options at prop, and he talks about Billy Bowen being called in to replace the very unfortunate Jack Boyle, who was brought off with an Achilles injury, I think it was, in the Leinster game last week. Billy Bowen, the Newbridge College past pupil, is a real talent. He's bred to play lead sport with his father, Enda, having played prop for Lansdowne and Leinster. His paternal grandfather lost an All-Ireland hurling final at Tipperary with Dublin in 1961 and was on the Kildare football team in 1956 when he was a cadet in the Curragh. His maternal grandfather was the former Irish and Lions player Mick Doyle, who also coached Ireland to Triple Crown success. Jesus, if ever there was a lineage, yeah. Give it a lash? Was that? No, he wasn't. That was Jack Charlton, of course. What was his famous?
Mick Doyle.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Myself and everybody else on the spot.
He was a controversial figure in his time. Like, he was very outspoken. He was an RT pundit for many years as well. Shane McGrath makes the point, it looks like a setup that's crying out for a completely different perspective. You know, a new voice, you know, that they have.
Yeah.
Jonathan Sexton has come in. He's been in a while now, but generally this the same. The players have been listening to the same voices for quite a while. You know, given Farrell was there himself under Joe Schmidt. And also a theme that's not a surprising theme across the coverage is the discipline. On the back of Bundy Aki's suspension, a general perception that Irish players have got far too mouthy for their own good, and also the amount of yellow cards and penalties that are given up in game after game, something that wasn't an Irish weakness a couple of years ago, but definitely has become one in the last year. And I think that's something what people will watch very carefully on Thursday, is the penalty count and the general discipline and trying to keep 15 players on the pitch for the 80 minutes.
It seems to have slid off in a big way, and, like, as Bernard Jackman points out, that the Aki suspension is rock bottom and that has to be the turning point in our respect for match officials. Our players need to keep their mouths shut and get on with the game. And, like, every game you watch now, it just feels like it's a real facet of it, no matter if it's for province or country. And referees will be going in, no doubt, with, like, this stuff on top of their minds.
Yeah, but I think, I think it's a frustration as well. I think, a couple of players have probably lost a yard as well, and it's that, so you're running into those kind of issues as well, where you leave referees with no choice a lot of the time, but then there's a backlash against the referees, which kind of doubles up on the indiscipline and the problems that. So I think there has to, and that's down to kind of in the dressing room, where you have to be told you have to just put the ball down and walk away. And that's because it's only leading to further problems and putting the rest of the team under further pressures.
Yeah, I agree with what Linda's saying there. I would really put a lot of this in the coaches, that it keeps happening. How are the coaches allowing this to keep happening? Surely they should have nipped this in the bud a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Like, Caelan, get your act. Like, how does that actually, maybe. I don't know, Bundy Aki obviously wasn't the captain and shouldn't have been doing whatever he did. Mm. We don't even have the full details of that just yet, but, like, surely the coaches are sitting down with them saying, lads, will you cop on? Like,
yeah, but generally, if you watch, like players grow up with, I know culture is such an overused word in rugby, but they do grow up with a culture where it's the captain that speaks. The captain does the talk, but now they're all, they're all chirping. Yapping and they're all...
But even the captain's chat at times is not right, like,
it's... Yeah.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off The Ball member now.
Off The Ball Rugby.
And there was no doubt there was a lot of disappointment in the Galway air that they didn't have this win, because they're sick of losing into pros and they're sick of losing to Leinster. That's 13 defeats in a row to Leinster, and it's 10 into pro defeats out of 10 in the last two seasons.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.